Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When my opinion is stated, I always ask, how do you feel? How do you think? What is your thought process? What is your thought on this? How do you feel? What do you believe?
Right.
You know, get that conversation started. If you get that conversation started with, it doesn't matter who, you know, it can be a beautiful conversation where one person believes this, I believe that, and it's very, very divided, but you know what? Shake hands. What a great conversation is what I always will say.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land.
The promised land. And finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
The problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning. It is not the finale. And that's why we're here. And that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
Find a way to get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
Welcome back to the second hour of Public Access America. It might be still the first episode of Adam Has a Beard. We don't know. It's a crossover, and we do whatever the fuck we want with it.
Welcome back to part two.
I love it. So somebody had said something to me that's sticking in my head, and you were bringing it up. We've been talking about it the whole first hour, and that was there's two ways to accomplish your goals, domination or unification. And domination has always been the mindset.
Always.
Right? And like, it goes right down. You were talking about it with Trail Skateboard Shop, where it's like another group came in and they were like, we love what she's doing. That's unification. And it 100%. Made me think, like, companies that knock down other companies and belittle other companies that are competition for them, they dilute and diminish their stuff too, right? Like, you can't say Adam's podcast sucks, so you shouldn't listen to Adam, but listen to my podcast, I have a great podcast. That doesn't make sense, right? So but domination is a mindset that I think we have on a personal level, even when it comes to our opinions. Like, I have an opinion, you have an opinion, now which one is dominant? And that's not the way it is, right?
What we should be doing
is saying, that's your idea, this is my idea. How do we make that like a mixed baby of beautiful, right? And I think that's what your show does, Adam Has a Beard, and my show, Public Access America, Inspirations Beyond Disabilities, too. And Kai from Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe is a great podcast, you know, that they do. We just did episode 69. It just came out last Tuesday. And I don't know. I can't remember. It was like 2 hours. It was a midnight recording at 2 hours.
And
they're just great people. And I think all of these shows, what they have in common is just rhetoric can't stand up to the conversation. You know, you can't jump in and go, no, pink. You know? you have to listen to us. And I just posted it on Twitter. We don't tell you what to think. We tell each other what we think and we let you listen. And I think that's really important because we don't talk political. We talk about political things, but we talk about them as humans, like the way they were meant to be. I like to think, like, we go to the swamp and we pull out topics that matter and drag them back to our campfire, and then we all sit around like cavemen and talk about it, you know.
100%, man. 100%. I think that domination mindset is something that we've always grown up with, because we see it in the grade schools. I remember when I was coming up in grade school, it was always they got it. They did it. They always did. And they always just the rest of us who didn't understand what's going on, we were just swept to the side. And I think that's why my political views and all that should have been taught back then are just very diminished, it's because I didn't have that dominant. I didn't have that domination mindset.
Right. You know? I never had anybody in my life that was a dominant person. Nobody ever told me what to do.
Yeah. Right.
So I find it weird that people insist that I do what they say. Whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, by the way, you know, yeah, or an independent. Bernie Sanders, I'll question him just as much as AOC, just as much as Ted Cruz. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're politicians. It's not left, right. It's up, down.
Yeah. I think the edge that we got for me is, you know, being a musician where you think for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, think for yourself. You know, this is my opinion, like you said. And I always make sure that when my opinion is stated, I always ask, how do you feel? How do you think? What is your thought process? What is your thought on this? How do you feel? What do you believe?
Right.
You know, get that conversation started. If you get that conversation started with, it doesn't matter who, you know, it can be a beautiful conversation where one person believes this, I believe that, and it's very, very divided. But you know what? Shake hands. What a great conversation is what I always will say.
If you can't have a long enough conversation where it stays divided, though, you know what I mean? I don't believe it. I think that once people realize where other people are coming from on a human level, and like they're not, I believe people have issues and problems. I think they're not talking about them in the right terms. They're not using the right definitions of things, right? Like Antifa is anti-fascism. So if you say anti-fascism is ruining America, you can't say that because that's what we fought in World War II, right? But what you can say is that there's radical people that believe in fascism as a problem, and they are seeing it where it isn't, and they're fighting where it isn't, or maybe they're fighting where it is. I don't know. Like, I don't follow fascism.
Me but either. It's not.
But when you say anti-fascism is a problem, that's silly. That's silly. That's like saying the Catholic Church is a problem because a Protestant once hit me with a shoe. You know, it's like you got to get your terms right. Critical race theory is taught in law schools at Harvard, but making people feel bad for what their ancestors did is a real thing that should be discussed, right? And 100%. I wouldn't shame somebody. I would talk to them first, right? But if you're going up to a white person in Virginia and saying, "You're the reason my ancestor was a slave," that white person is automatically going to be like, "Fuck you too." Like, you know?
And they have a right to.
And white people feel like they're losing their grip on power, and they are losing their grip on the majority. And what they see is other people getting what they haven't been getting for a while. Like white people ate at the buffet first. We were the first wedding table called, right? And now we finished our meals and we're watching the last table 19, get their food. And we're like, what the fuck? I want food. Yeah, you'll get there. You're the next table. Like, but white people, they're being told that things are being stolen from them and they need to fight to get them back. You don't need to fight to get them back. It's just other people getting something. And it's that dominant view that says Adam can't have it unless I have more than I want. That's the issue. There's enough for all of us.
Mm-hmm. There is, man. Learn to share, man. I mean, that lesson was,
you don't even have to share. I'm going to keep getting everything I have always gotten, right? And now Adam's going to get as much as I get. That's cool. That's not less for me, right? That's actually more for me because now I can hang out with Adam and I don't feel bad that he's an equal now. You know?
We're not here to take over. We're here to take part or the other way around.
I like that. No, I like that. We're not here to take over. We're here to take part. I love that.
I want to be present, man. I want to be relevant by helping somebody else. I want to promote people. I want to make sure that people know that they have a place. Even like, I think I saw something that and I'm going to butcher this, man, but just because we're not friends anymore doesn't mean I don't want you to succeed. It just means that, you know, we've moved on. We've grown apart. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so these people who don't sit at my table and eat with me, that's cool. I don't care. You know, I'm on a different path than you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think
it's a long reception, right? We're going to be dancing later on.
Maybe. Or maybe it's time for me to leave. I'll dip out. You know, that right. famous Gonzalez dip. I'm like, oh man, hey, there's entirely too many people here. I can't say goodbye to all of them. See ya.
I think the problem with America is, like, you know, the wedding has the main table. Yeah. I think that's where all the politicians are sitting who got served right. and didn't have to go through the buffet. And they're sitting there pointing to table one that table 19's eating, and that's wrong. Like, nah. You know, like they're the ones saying, oh, they're getting something you didn't. No, they're not. I had it. I had it 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years ago. I'm happy they're getting food, you know, because now I can go back in line.
Yeah, no, it's my turn to eat again. Second plate, second coffee, bro. Oh man, what a good day! It's a nice day, dude. I like being able to sit down and talk with you, man. You know,
hell yeah.
And I'm glad that you know that I can call you and get you to come onto the show when I don't have a guest host, which is absolutely the biggest problem for me right now. I can't find anybody to guest host.
We're a network. We should always have somebody. That was always my goal, was a rotation of perspectives going through four or five shows, you know?
That would be phenomenal. I need to get into that rotation.
Can you imagine if we were able to create like a podcast in Texas in this time? You know what I mean? With everything going on in Texas, if we had been able to have like a podcast in Texas get those perspectives. That would have been cool.
Yeah. Holy shit.
But yeah, no, it's supposed to. I really was always hoping one day that like Kai would be on Adam Has a Beard, or Jeffrey would be on Inspirations Beyond Disabilities, or you would be on Public Access America. That's what by the way, why does our food taste like death is one of our most popular episodes right now. Okay, and that was about the farm workers that you and Jeffrey were on. Those are the accomplishments that make me so happy when I do that, or when I do child sexual abuse awareness and like it's popular all around the world. Like when I think nobody's going to like this, like I'm going to get shit on for this, and then people listen to it. I love that. So thank you, Duffy. But that food episode, why does your food taste like death? I love that. That was one of my favorite episodes.
That was a good conversation, man. And I think that it was one of those uncomfortable conversations that if it wasn't talked about, someone else is going to talk about it. And your perspective or your opinion or my opinion or Jeffrey's opinion would not have been conveyed. And I think that the platform that you gave us to talk about that was phenomenal. I think that it's something that's relevant. It still is relevant, man. I mean, it shouldn't be just like, oh, hey, okay, well, we talked about it. Nah, we'll forget about it now. No, it's still an issue. An issue, you know, like the indigenous women that are missing that nobody finds. Still an issue, you know what I mean?
Still an issue.
Yeah.
What was that band I sent you? Fuck. Snotty Res Kids. Snotty Res Kids. Something like that. I'll put it in there. Because those kids, I heard those kids in a podcast and they were like, we're native. It's in everything we do. And I sent that to you because I was like, man, I would love to be on Adam Has a Beard with these guys talking music and indigenous rights. And you know what I mean? Like, fuck yeah. Because those kids, I love youth because they're just like, this is who I am. And it's a part of culture. Like, it's like looking at a rubber ball and seeing one point and that's them. And they're like, we're part of this. We go to the core of America. And they said something that's really important for me. It's something I say, and I never knew indigenous people said it. And it was like, hey, they're our hosts. We're their guests still. And we need to remember that and treat them with respect because that's the way they see it. Indigenous people are like, you're still our guests here.
100%, man. 100%, you know. And there's really never going to be a full resolution to that. I don't, it's going to be, it's here, it's, it, the statement that I'd like to use now that I've heard always is, this is how it's always been. Has it though?
No.
Has it though?
It's been this way for 150 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not always been this way. No. We have not always been here. I know for a fact that my family hasn't always been here. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. Your family has always been here. Just because somebody put a line in the earth doesn't mean that from Mexico to Alaska isn't America. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want people to understand. Like 5,000 years ago, somebody from Peru walked up to America and sat down and built a campfire. Like, and then like 150 years ago, that same guy walked up here and somebody stood there and said, no, leave. You know, like California was part of still Mexico. Texas was still part of Mexico like 160 years ago.
Yes.
And white people weren't even a race 400 years ago. 450 right. years ago, they weren't. They were Polish. They were Swedish. They were, you know,
Spaniards.
Bulgarian. But then all of a sudden we started trading black people around the globe and we had to be like, oh, we're white. No, take the black ones because we're white.
You know? Oh, my God, so, dude.
Well, you can't even be proud like to be white because you weren't a nationality. Like, and right. no offense, Adam, Mexican wasn't a nationality like hundreds of years ago. It was Mayan, it was Aztec, it was like the Incas, and it was people from Panama coming up to Mexico. It was people from the United States going down to Mexico. Like it was just so cool. I just see it as so cool. You can go anywhere you want. Tomorrow, if we wanted to fly down to wherever Uruguay is, we could just sit there and be like, this is life now. We don't have to be like, I need a passport. You know, I got to follow customs laws and I can't bring... Fuck you. I just want to go to Uruguay, you know?
Hey, guess what? We're in Uruguay.
Right. And so we came over here. We should respect the land that we found. And, you know... I don't know.
You know, something I learned too, going over to Hawaii, you know, I know
they respect their land, right?
Oh, they respect their land, they respect their people, they respect their traditions. It is such a beautiful fucking place, man. I mean, I met some cool people over there. Shout out to Kanoi, who is a guy who does parasailing. He had such a cool chill demeanor about him. You know what I mean? He was funny as shit. The guy was funny as shit. He was like, well, if you go down in the ocean, hey, good luck. I can't swim. I'm like, oh, shit. good thing I can swim. But he was hilarious, man. You know what I mean? But the luau, we went to a luau, and oh, my God, they told us the story of how everybody came from, and they talk about their cousins in Tahiti. They talk about the relatives and how they... And their pride,
Philippines.
Right. Yes, they talk about such pride in their land and their people, and then of course we got the mainlanders, and this is I understand why they dislike some mainlanders. Got a bunch of drunk assholes showing up to your island, and all of a sudden they're partying their asses off, and then just leaving shit everywhere.
Yep.
The beaches, man. The beaches are beautiful. Why would we go and shit on their land?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's the one thing that will piss a Hawaiian off is if you disrespect their land.
Yeah. Why would you do that? It's such a beautiful place. Yeah. You are the visitor. You pack something in, you pack something out. You bring some, you know what I'm saying? It's just like it is here. You go into our national forest, you pack that shit in, you pack that shit right back out.
That's right.
We as a people should remember when we go visit someplace, we're representing. We're representing ourselves, representing our country, representing our own values. If we respect somebody that much, like we respect Kanoi, we go to his go to his island where he's at hanging out and he's doing his thing and he sees me show up and I'm an asshole, he has every right to whoop my ass.
And that's what'll piss them. One of my favorite Hawaiian sayings is, if you love what I love, we can be more than friends. We're family.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that to heart, like
100%.
And so I always show people that I care for my surroundings to let them know you care about it, I care about it. We can be friends. We're not enemies, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I still think that, you know, after visiting this beautiful island of Maui, you know, I was on Maui and I saw all sorts of cool things. Yeah. I found myself, you know, stopping. Oh shit, man! Somebody left a beer bottle there. Really? Are you serious? I picked it up, man. I don't care about the. I do care about the COVID. I'm just saying I cared more about disrespecting that beautiful island.
Right.
Than I did about some bullshit. I picked that up and I threw it right in the garbage can, which was right, literally right there, 5-10 feet away from where I was at.
Yeah. I'm like,
seriously? How seriously? You know what I mean? And then so back to Kanoi, who this kid, he, dude, that's his job. His job was to literally strap you into a boat give you the details on what's going to happen, take pictures and put on a happy face day in, day out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Seeing hundreds, if not thousands of people a week, a month, a year, however long his deal is, you know what I mean? And the right. man goes back and he at the end of the day, he takes his shoes off just like everybody else and he relaxes, but he's relaxing on this beautiful island. And I think that the point of this story, me rambling, is don't disrespect your surroundings unless you're in a mosh pit. And even at the mosh pit, people still love each other, right?
Hell yeah. And some of the greatest acts of friendship are in a mosh pit when somebody 100%. Falls. 100%. You know, like you see the mosh pit as this violence, but what I see is a group of people protecting each other.
100%. It's always been that way. Every show that I've ever been to, every metal show, every local show, there's a mosh pit. Guess what? Oh, you see somebody fall down, you see those guys scoop that person right back up. Right. Or even put them off to the side or right up into the circle right in the mosh pit.
I remember like people would be like, hey, that dude has rings and spikes on. He's bad news. Like, you know, we would tell other people and they would get kicked out of the pit, like if they were violent or, you know, like you can dress to hurt people, man. And people do that.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's a shame. You know, it kind of makes me wonder about what exactly happened at this Travis Scott, you know, the Astroworld concert.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do people not care at rap shows, hip hop shows? I mean, I'm a hip hop fan myself. I know that my my counterpart, Mr. Zach Pearson, who is in my band, I5 Senses, he is a huge hip hop head. You know what I mean? But I don't see that change where we wouldn't stop and pick somebody up in the mosh pit or this big crowd of people.
Right. You know?
Whose responsibility is it that these people got hurt? Was it in fact Travis Scott who was on stage?
Kind of, because he was the boss.
Yeah, you think
that's
so?
That's what sucks. Like he could have hired better security and made them the fall guy. You know, I don't know. I don't know who he hired, but I'll say that he didn't hire the right people and have the right management. Like he owned the venue, he hired the security, he was on stage. I don't blame him for being on stage too long. Like how am I supposed to know? I got hundreds of lights facing my face. I can't see the crowd. I get that somebody says, hey Travis, and you're like, well, okay, you know, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
so I don't blame him for that. I just managerially I blame him.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to blame the people. The like people got to be basic people to people. Like
you got to take care of each other, man.
Yeah,
this is self-regulating. Like you constantly talk about. I mean, way back in the episodes of Adam Has a Beard, we were talking about policing yourself as far as firearms. Why would you not police yourself as far as behavior?
Right.
You know.
Do you feel better about seeing a show after you trampled over somebody, or would you feel better missing part of that show and helping somebody get up? I just think you would enjoy the show more if you didn't kill someone to get to the stage.
Right.
You know, and it's like, what at what point did you just walk over this person and go, oh, there's Travis Scott? Like, did you not feel the body underneath you? Like, why would you not just stop everybody? You know, I would much rather get trampled myself protecting somebody that's getting trampled than I would like trample them and then get a free t-shirt, you know, whatever.
Something like that, man.
I take pride in being a person like that, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know how people go on selfish. To me doesn't work. And I don't ask a lot from people. It's not like I'm like, well, I need people, so I'm not selfish. No, I could be selfish. I just don't want to be.
Yeah, exactly, man. Take care of each other, man. Life is too short, bro. Life is too short.
But what do you think about it?
I think that it's a fucked up mess. I'm not even gonna lie, man. I think that Travis Scott needs to take care of this, you know. So you get in front of this. I think he's already, I don't exactly know where we're standing at where as far as like the news goes on this thing, but I just know that what I know from the point of view of from Saturday that, oh damn, it's a big shit show. It's a huge shit show. And let's just see what happens. But I know if this wouldn't happen at a metal show, I know this wouldn't happen at any regular hip hop show. Usually the security, usually people take care of each other, man. I mean, and I think ultimately the responsibility falls on the people who attended this show. I mean, was it really worth seeing, you know, trampling over people to get to the stage and killing people? Was it worth it? I don't think so. I really don't think so, man. I just think that humanity was lost, honestly.
Me too. You know? And isn't that a shame? And that's not Travis Scott's fault.
No, it's really not. I mean, he's as far as like artistry and hip hop and musicality, I mean, he's okay. He's good. He's doing his thing. Let him do his thing.
I think so. I think I actually have one of his songs or two of his songs on a compilation.
Yeah. I saw his documentary, Astroworld documentary, and I thought that was pretty fantastic. Oh. And I think that's like that's a thing that I like about music is, you know, when they dive deep into in their stories or talk about, you know, the biographies, or like, you know, Billie Eilish put out that thing on Disney.
Oh, I didn't see it. I don't have Disney though.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus, whatever. And she put out the documentary before the show. And I can't remember the name of that show. But whatever.
Everybody in the world already knows the name of it.
Right. So everybody knows. Yeah, exactly. So I watched both of them. I watched the making of, and then I watched the actual concert. And I think it was beautiful because, you know, it was just her and her band. And then she had an orchestra. And then she had a choir. And her brother on stage and a drummer, and it was amazing. It was pretty goddamn amazing. And I like the idea, you know, the Astroworld, the Travis Scott story, and him talking about getting to the show, getting to the point where he was making music. I like the making of records. I mean, the making of Sacrament from Lamb of God, which is one of my favorite CDs by those guys, is, you know, they show the process and how they did, you know, recording music to their individual lives. So coming together to talk about, you know, disagreements, to talk about, you know, the progression of music. That's fantastic. The Motionless in White, you know, the making of My Disguise, the last CD that I just put out, was phenomenal, man, because it showed a human side of musicians. So
More human than anybody, or musicians are more human than anybody, aren't they?
I often get a lot of questions regarding the interview I did with Luke from Pergola. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then I also did an interview with Cassifer from Amoris.
Nice.
Now Amoris is pretty fucking heavy and pretty badass. I mean, just an amazing. And they just got done playing Hellfest with Carnifex, or well, I don't know if it was Hellfest, but they played with Carnifex, they played with Ilciano. Adam Warren has been singing on one of their songs, so they're pretty big in Utah. But the conversation I had, what drew people to him, was the fact that when he got on the show with me, he was humanized.
Right.
When he said so, he said something to the effect of like, you know, well, I like to garden, I like to sit and just kind of relax. People were like, no, he's supposed to be out murdering and killing and mayhem. And I'm like, is he though? You know, at what point does the line between musician and human blur?
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? You have to be a human in order to become a musician. You have to be a human to feel in order to become a musician. You know what I mean?
So we actually gave Luke permission to be himself. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, that discussion wasn't just metal. It was like him explaining his emotional during it all, and us finally telling him, you know, you're the perfect version of you. Like, you're the most amazing Luke ever.
Yeah.
You know, why do you diminish that? And it was a great conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good, man. It was good making, I think that's what's so important about, you know, us doing our podcasts, you know, individually and together, is the fact that we promote people as people, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, when I always say, and this makes everybody mad too, and I think it's kind of funny. When I tell everybody that, when I say everybody love everybody, it's not because, oh, it's funny because Jackie Moon said it. Yeah, it is funny. But it resonated in my fucked up head, where I'm like, oh man, everybody love everybody. That's fucking hilarious. Oh damn. You know what? Everybody should love everybody. You know what? Mm-hmm. Everybody love everybody, motherfucker.
you should love everyone's right to exist and live a life of happiness. Like,
yes,
if you don't like some, like what I've been saying lately is think more about you and less about me. Yeah. Like, you don't need to have an opinion on my life, and you don't need to get all anxious and angry and criticize me for the way I live. You can just go bake a pie or have sex with your partner and not even think about me, and you will have the best day. Like that guy that ran into that crowd, imagine if he had just pulled over and went to Denny's, right? He could have had a great meal, calmed down, relaxed, but we get so mad. We want to hurt people, but what we're getting mad about is how our opinions about other people. I might not like the way Adam lives every moment of his life, but I respect his ability and right to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, we're doing something that we think is right.
Right.
We're not harming anybody. We're not taking from anybody. We're not stealing. We're not killing. What we're doing is we're living the best life that we can for ourselves.
Right. And we think about others, but that's, I'm naturally do that.
Yeah.
I can't not do it. Like I go on Inspirations Beyond Disabilities and they're like, we don't want to talk about heavy politics. And I'm like, okay. And I realize how hard that is. It's just, I advocate for people in the moment. If somebody calls a them a she, I'm like, oh no. So they, you know, and I try to explain it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't not do that. It's disrespectful. Like, it's disrespectful to Debbie. Even though the first time I met them, they were presented as a female, right? And I knew them as a she, and they were so nice because there's times where I'm like, she, and now I got it. Mm. Now I'm down to they, and it makes sense to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I wasn't always so woke that I knew that Debbie existed.
And I think that's an important thing. It's a two-way street there, you know, for Debbie to be like, hey, patient. You know, to be that exactly. Patient and understanding and being and willing to teach people who actually want to listen to what they have to say is important. But it takes also the other person coming up that street who is willing to respect and love them for them. Right. You know what I mean? And be like, okay, you know, I am going to make a very conscious effort to refer to they, them, because of who they are. I mean, sure, we've known them as a she before, or it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We are here now, and we have to respect those values and those opinions of what they are going through.
Whatever
they want. Yeah. Yes,
we should want to. We should not want to make their life more difficult. Right?
Exactly. They are going down this beautiful path.
Yeah.
They've included us in that path.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Right?
I love it. I love being able to walk around the world and turn on my Devi headset, you know, and be like, how would Devi see this?
Yes.
How would Jeffrey see? Oh,
yes.
See,
that's what I'm saying. So for us to be included in that, fragment of their story, that to me, that's amazing. And so I would not change a damn thing. All I would like to change is myself. I'd like to change myself where I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm more conscious of this. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, damn, fuck, I slipped up. And I always apologize to them too. I'm always like, damn, you know, I'm fucking sorry. Yep. I'm trying here. I'm really fucking trying. But at least I'm acknowledging it. I should stop apologizing. I should just correct myself, make that conscious effort to make that correction.
And you will. Yes. And then one day, I think I said it at the end of last week. I was like, oh, Devi, she's everywhere in my head. And I was like, sorry. And I kind of cut it out of the show because it was embarrassing to me. But you know, I walked around and called everybody they. Like, you know, it didn't matter, and that's how I figured it out. Like, we can all be a they. I'm a he, I'm also a they, right? So I called everybody they until it was natural. But I have other friends that are like, Jason, you're so woke. And I'm like, yeah, but not to Devi. To Devi, exactly. I'm still a caveman learning.
Exactly. I am still a caveman learning. I'm very primitive. Like I always say to you, man, when I come on to your show, it's like I'm my primitive thought process, and I think I gotta stop self-defeating. You know, I'm starting, and this is Scott Drapow's mentality seeping into me right now, because like, it's only been a couple of days, but I gotta stop self-defeating. But I'm always thinking that my thoughts are more primitive than when I come on talk with you and Jeffrey, who, by the way, the two of you guys is the left brain, the right brain together. You guys are a brain. And then here I am. I'm like, stick.
you didn't know, how do I say it? You walked into a studio and you didn't know what genre of music they were playing.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody told you what instrument you were going to be playing.
Right.
But if I tell you, hey, this black guy's been incarcerated for 43 years and they're going to put him to death, what do you think? They think he might be innocent. That's easy for you.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the human answer to that. You don't need to pretend there's some highfalutin theory, philosophy. That's my point. Like, I don't know. Like, Ted Cruz, Texas, says Texas should get out of the United States. How do you feel about that? Should we take over Texas and take it back? You know, it's like easy once you think of a human level. Like, there's people in Texas suffering. Let's stop that. Yeah. It's easy, right? But that's my problem, is like certain, we get stuck on a political argument, but our lives aren't political at all. So exactly. Get rid of the political glasses. Take the political glasses off your face. Like stop donating to politicians left and right. Stop putting their words before ours. Stop letting them tell you what to think and start telling them what to do. That's what I say. And that's not political at all. That's everyone. Fucking politicians, everyone. Pay attention to me, you know?
Exactly. But you're working for us, man. Fuck.
That's right. Wait, come and talk
point,
to us.
Yeah, what point did you forget that we exist? Oh, because we're not paying for you, you motherfuckers.
That's right.
This is the month of uplifting, and you motherfuckers are not uplifting us.
the thing that bugs me most is when I hear like politicians or political people that think they're like higher in the media. They're always like, well, we wish we knew what regular people thought, but oh, we're too scared to sit and talk to them. You know what I mean? It's like we're right here, Public Access America, live streaming noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Come on.
Come on. Pay your fucking attention. Hell yeah. Hey, so I'd like to get your opinion on, well, I'd like to present something to you, Jason.
I love you too.
I do love you, brother. I want you to know that for a fact. That, you know,
my new name is Tandai. Tishai Tandai. Isha Tandai.
Isha Tandai. Isha Tandai.
Isha Tandai.
Isha Tandai.
Perfect.
Dude, I'd like to present something to you too. That I'd like to do this on occasion, and we're going to do this live because we always do this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been waiting for this moment all fucking month. Now, I'd like to present to you the return of Big Spoon's Corner with Big Spoon himself. Big Spoon.
What's up?
Big Spoon's Corner is now live, sponsored to you by the Spider Killer. You got spiders? He's the killer.
Spider Hunter.
Oh, excuse me. Shit. Big Spoon, how are you, brother?
I'm good. I just got done getting my back zapped at physical therapy.
Oh, did you get your back zapped by, like, you mean you got tased, like a cop-on-cop tasing?
No.
Oh.
don't be spreading rumors, because you'll go and tell people I just got the shocker.
Big Spoon, this is a moment where we allow Big Spoon to give his share philosophies and moments and seconds and life into what we like to call our normal routine. So why don't you give us a Big Spoon moment or a inspirational quote?
Here's one. I'm trying to think how to word it, but if you make all your internet passwords your safe word, you will never forget them.
Jason, what do you think about that one? It's good, huh?
If you're this like chunky peanut butter.
You never want to introduce chunky peanut butter into a sexual component.
But Jason says that he doesn't want, you don't really want to introduce a chunky peanut butter into a sexual component, do you?
I don't know.
Unless it's a big dog, then
it is what it is. Well, hey, man.
And then my other advice in real life, I just did this. When you're trying to get out of a parking lot onto a busy road, just make the fucking right turn. Go make a left turn into another lot and then get on your way. I've seen too many people wreck their fucking cars getting waved through by grandma who's not paying attention. And then you get fucking hit in the driver's side or a passenger side door by somebody driving along, minding their own goddamn business. Jesus fucking Christ. I was busy. You don't get to turn left.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, you know what? There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to society. Learn to make friends. All right.
Big Spoon, much love, my dude. I will talk with you later.
All right.
Later, buddy.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, great advice from Big Spoon. I always call Big Spoon because, you know, like I said, it is the month of uplifting. For that guy, it is, you know, I've known him for, how old is my kid? Holy shit, I've known him for almost 22 years. So, jeez. Yeah. So
when he said Zap, is that the new COVID shot, the booster?
No, the Zap is the shocker. So he's
COVID, now with shocking capabilities. Brought to you by Satan.
You're going to get chipped too.
Get the new COVID vaccine now with 666 in the name.
So Big Spoon's going through physical therapy. He's taking care of some things. He's on the duty, on duty injuries. When I say I support the blue, I support the blue because he is a blue. You know what I mean? He is
right.
He's one of the good ones. He's trying to train people the human side of being a police officer, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? So
you can't see what you see as a police officer and always remain as human as you first were, you know?
Right. And that's what he's going through. And sometimes he'll come over, he'll sit, won't say but a couple words. And then sometimes he'll come over and he'll talk up a storm. But you know what? The fact is that he opened the door, he walked through it, sat down, is perfect enough for me because I know what he's gone through and he doesn't have to talk about it. If he doesn't want to talk, he doesn't have to talk. All he knows is that he can come to my house and have a safe place where he is not judged, where he can just come and hang out for however the hell he wants to hang out. And I think that's an important thing. I think people don't really understand that police officers, deputies, man, they go through a lot of shit. You know what I mean? They do.
Sometimes just starting a conversation means shutting up and letting one start. You know,
yeah, 100%.
People got to realize that there doesn't always have to be a point
Right.
Sometimes you can just listen.
Yeah, sometimes you can just listen. Or, you know what, just sit there and watch a TV. Or, you know what, he wants to come over and hang out and not say anything. That's fine.
That's right. I have friends that do that. I tell them, if you're in a shitty situation, you're in a bad mood, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling alone, just come over. You can you can go in my bedroom, lock the door, watch Netflix if you want. You know, like, it's a safe spot. And I think everyone needs that. But I can't help but think, like, when you say back the blue, I back the blue. I back good and bad blue. I just think that the bad blue needs more influences of humanity around them because they're losing some of it.
Yep.
And we, like you went in the first episode, communication. I think there needs to be more downtime communication between officers and community.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Like, we should be inviting them over to our barbecues, right? We should be, you know, like, maybe it's because I grew up in 80s movies, but if you make your enemy your friend and bring them around your group, a lot of times they'll change. Start empathizing with you. They won't hate you as much.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
That's what I don't think there's bad people. I think there's people that have gone through bad shit.
Yeah.
And they're in forms of processing it. And those people need someone to talk to. So I'm really glad that your friend has someone to talk to.
100%, man. And I think I'm very proud of that too. You know what I mean? I'm very proud that he's able to come over and talk to me, man. I mean, he used to sleep on my couch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We used to go get lit up, and go do shit. You know what I mean? Play shows, go drinking, go whatever. It doesn't matter. But now, you know, we are who we are. We're older and, well, you know, it is what it is. And this is like, it's a friendship. It's a very, very good friendship for me because I believe in him. You know what I mean? I believe in what he does and I believe who he is because he's not changed. That's the one thing about him, that he's changed, but he's not changed as far as like how big his heart is.
Right. It's just the walls that he surrounded himself with
are
harder to translate
to him. And not very many of us have that key to that to the, hey man, I'm coming in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm one of the lucky ones.
I had a friend that, you know, said, I'm really easy to get to know. And I said, no, you're a series of walls with mazes in between. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to know how to navigate you on any given day. Right. Like, you're not honest and open. You're guarded and you try to manipulate me to move left or right in your maze. But I never know for myself what move to make, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people build that stuff up, you know.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too, by the way.
100%, man. I mean, sometimes like we don't know the path that these people have taken. And all we can do is sit back and say, hey, I love you for who you are. Yeah. You be you. I'm here if you need me, when you need me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's up to us to say that. And I don't think that we should push. I know we don't push. We just let it flow.
I just want to know what you know. I have this theory, and I don't watch the show Walking Dead, but I get the premise of it. And my theory is there's good people, and they're in these camps, like you and I and Jeffrey and Debbie, and we build these camps. Mm-hmm. But we all do have to go out and forage. Mm-hmm. And when we go out and forage, we encounter things like bad people, zombies. You know, and then we come back and we're changed. But that feeds into the group, not just one person. And so I like, that's what I always think, is I'm jumping from camp to camp when I meet people. It's like, is your camp great or are you a zombie? And sometimes people just turn into assholes. Like, you didn't know they would change like that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I've learned to see change as an end for a new beginning, because I don't ever want to judge somebody. Even if you're being an asshole to me, if I haven't done anything about that, then I don't take it like, oh, I did something. I think somebody did something to you and now you need to go work it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be here for you when you get back. But I used to take that personally.
Yeah.
Like when somebody was mad, I thought it was me that they were mad at, and I would make them madder by trying to fix it when it wasn't me.
<You know? laughs> It's that whole communication breakdown, brother.
You know? The more you communicate, the more you know. The more you know, the better you feel.
Yep.
And the longer relationships you have, the less like on-hands communication, you know, like, well, do you want to go here? Do you want to go left? Are you going to go left? I'm going to go right. You don't have to do that with Adam and a Jason, you know, like friends you've had for a while. So
Yeah, you just kind of just go with the flow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love you for what your journey. I love you for your journey, you know?
Yeah.
But you're going. I'm going down this path real quick. And then if our paths cross again, hey, guess what? I'm still here. Hi, I love you still.
I love you. I love you for your journey and don't judge you for your flaws.
Exactly. There's no way to live.
Struggle creates scars, and those scars are beautiful
oh.
to me because those are the differences. Like we're all a black painting, but it's those little etchings that make us colorful.
Yeah.
And I like damaged people because of that.
Yeah.
Like if you've had a life of privilege and entitlement, I don't understand you. I really just don't. And I want to, but I can't think to myself that your biggest issue is to replacing your dining room table or building an extension on your giant house. Like to me, or buying a new car. To me, that stuff doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, not at all, man. I mean, I want to know what happened that made you shift into this, you know, this guarded person. What was that?
Right.
What was that trauma? Because it was a trauma. You know, your face wears it. You can see it, you know? Yeah. Or what's going on with your job that they were so bad, you know? Or what is going on with your new promotion? Or what's going on with your practice? Or what's going on with
your music? I felt that too. Yeah. You know, I felt that anger too. You know, do you need a hand? Yeah. It's like a computer. Sometimes it goes into processing and you get that little ring. That's people. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to somebody while that little ring is going, you're going to get answers that are just weird.
Yeah.
Because they're not, you know, but once they're done processing, they might come out of it and be like, so this is what I think now. And you can be like, cool. You're running again. All right. Yeah. Let's use this.
Let's figure this out together. You know, let's go on this journey.
Like even assholes, I've known, like when I was a kid or in my 20s, you'd go to a party and there'd always be that asshole, right? And I always wanted to go over there and like talk to him longer because you think he's an asshole because you give him 30 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. But if you give him an hour, a lot of times you find out why he is the way he is. And you're like, so you're not doing it to be an asshole. You're just doing it because it's fun for you, you know? Like, or sometimes you realize someone's an asshole, but how do you think Ahmaud Arbery is an asshole before you talk to him?
Right.
Why, you know, I don't know. It was a general thing, but why would you think he's a criminal before
talking to him?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Who are you to judge somebody that your life is so perfect? You can make that judgment, be the judge, jury, and the executioner.
Right. Not even police or executioners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like it goes back to what I said, either the situation was so dangerous that you needed to call the authorities or it wasn't so dangerous that you needed your gun.
Right.
If you had your gun, you intended to hurt somebody. And if that somebody was this guy, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, real bad, man. It's all bad.
Yeah.
I think I told
Jeffrey, by the way, like he's like talking about the racist attorney. And I was like, but you have to understand that's Georgia. That's not racist. That's normal white guy.
That's normal. That's their normal.
That's their normal white. Yes.
I don't know what it's going to take for the country to shift back into awareness. I have no idea. I mean, the last time I saw like a unified country, like a solidly unified country was 9/11. 9/12, the day after 9/11, you know, because we were all suffering that initial shock, but then all of a sudden that 9/12 hit and it was a unified America, a unified everybody was together, and I would be hard pressed to find anybody who was against the United States at that point, you know, whether it be, you know, at the local level or the national level. There was a sense of pride, there was a sense of unity, there was a sense of, oh, you fucked with the wrong country.
Public Access America.
It's always funny because, like, you know, especially because as, you know, libertarians, we get a ton of shit, even amongst other libertarians.
I think political philosophy is a lot like religion, and where there's moments you have to go on faith and trust what somebody else is saying.
The main focus is just, like, less dependence on the government because, well, we've seen how that's gone.
And you don't have to do that if you think about it in a human way.
You know, more dependence on connections with each other.
But you can always bring it back to what would one human do for another? What would 100 do for 100?
People looking out for people.
Find Public Access America anywhere you find your favorite podcast every Sunday and Thursday. And join the chat on YouTube at Public Access America every Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Communities looking out for community.
Public Access America. History in the making, making history in the making, in the making, in the making.
You know,
right,
and,
right.
And now we're back to, looks like we've forgotten what it was to be unified. You know what I mean?
That's a problem.
We're all divided. My big brother, Tommy Randall, said that, you know, we're letting these politicians, these political parties, and I think you've said it as well, they're letting us be divided by their statements.
In the media.
Yep. And the media.
Yeah.
Who's bought by, you know, we know who all being paid for by, you know.
Right.
It's a shame, and we're never going to find a common ground where we're going to find that unification again, unless there's something traumatic, which I do not want to see any kind of traumatic on American soil again.
No, I don't think we can handle it as a nation.
No,
but we're not talking about the same things, honestly. And like, I try to remain independent because I don't want people to see that I am this radical progressive that wants to end the southern border and protect people. But Democrats are doing things to help people.
Mm.
And while they're not talking to people and they're leaving certain people out and they're not doing enough for the people that need more, right? But they're doing stuff. Republicans are talking about things like the definition of what a man is, or they're not having the same fight.
Right.
Like Republicans are like, you're taking our white away. And the Democrats are like, people just, they're dying. Like, we need to stop this.
You know? Yeah.
And like, I'm not trying to make a hero out of the Democratic Party, but the infrastructure, the bill for bridges and roads and broadband and new electricity lines and getting rid of lead pipes, they spent months on that, and all the Republicans that every Democrat hates worked on that.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, they all worked on it and made sure that their constituents' bridges were in there. The problem is, once they got all that together, Republicans said, fuck you, we don't support it. It's bullshit, right?
Right.
Because they obviously fought for months to put that stuff in, but they don't want to take credit for it, but then they're going to take credit for it.
Right.
It's this weird thing. Like, you're just being difficult to be difficult. We all wanted the same thing behind the scenes.
Right.
Republicans and Democrats worked together and made this bill together. And, you know, like, and then they're like, it's bullshit. Bullshit. But Republicans aren't like, their base isn't talking about a new bridge.
Right.
Like, I literally heard a guy go, Joe Biden, you voted for infrastructure. That's garbage, but I want a new road. Like, fill my potholes. Like, at the same time complaining that, you know, he doesn't have broadband, but then blaming Democrats for spending too much on giving him broadband. You know, it's like, I don't want to, like, I told Jeffrey, Joe Biden is very purple. He's not red. He's not blue. And it sucks for everybody to admit, but it's good for everybody.
Mm.
Like, stop thinking about it as politics, because politics is the movie version of the actual events.
Right.
And the actual events are what matter. And they're tricking you into thinking that something is important when it isn't. You care about gas prices, then you should want an electric car. Joe Biden's going to give you $15,000 to get a new electric car.
Mm-hmm.
I think I spend too much on Medicare just spending too much on health, right? I spent $12,000 one year. This bill caps it at $3,000.
Oh, wow.
I'll never spend more than $3,000 on my health care again. That's awesome. It's going to take care of people and keep them in homes instead of putting them in nursing homes. It's it does a lot of good, and it sucks that Democrats are the ones that did it. And I wish Republicans were a part of it so that they could have got the cost down like Republicans do, but they didn't want to do that. And that's what sucks.
Yeah.
That's what sucks, man.
Too much.
I'm sorry.
Too many career politicians. You're making millions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Millions while the rest of us are making pennies.
Right.
I mean, and then these bills that you're talking about, man, they should have been unified. They should be working together. Well, I don't understand why they're not. Because
they were. That's the they were in real life. They were, but for movie drama, half of the people said no, so they could have an exciting moment, you know. But that's not what happened in real life. In real life, they all sat down and said, "Can Pensacola have a new highway here?" Yes, Matt, you can have that, even though you're under indictment for sleeping with an underage girl across state lines.
Yeah,
we'll
dick.
Give you that. And then he came out and he was like, "I'm voting no. I don't want Pensacola to have a highway, even though I slept with underage women crossing the state borders." But he's still going to get his highway. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's just bullshit. It's just bullshit. And it sucks that Democrats are the ones doing the work. But it's always easy to be better than the worst guy.
Right.
And that's what Democrats are doing. They're being better than the worst guy. And that's, and guess what? They gave money for 86 homes for the homeless. Like, that's bullshit. Like, you know, I don't want any more homeless if we're spending $3 trillion, please. Like,
no doubt, man. Can't take
and
care
that's
of...
not fixed. That's not fixed. So that sucks.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get fixed because Republicans weren't a part of the process.
Oh my God. That's just ridiculous.
And because Democrats don't talk to Adam and Jason or Jeffrey or Devi or Kai. They talk to other Democrats, you know?
Yeah.
Is this great? Well, that's great. I think that's great. You know, people will like it, maybe.
Yeah.
Should we ask them? No, let's not ask them.
Let's just pass it and see what they
let's
say.
Just get that. Let's just give them childcare. What?
Yeah.
Childcare is mine.
Yeah.
Just take less of my money so I can afford it. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Stop taking so much of my money that I can't afford childcare to give me some money back so I can spend it on childcare.
Come on, it's already expensive enough. Right.
God, you elitist douches.
Oh my God, man. People, we just need to. Don't be sorry, brother, because either, I think what we need to understand, and you know, taking from that is we need to understand that we need to have a voice. We need to have a say. We need to need to be more aware. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but people think that whole thing was political, but it isn't. It's human.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's a human thing. Like, talk to humans. Be about humans. Don't be about Mr. Potato Head. Who gives a fuck about Mr. Potato Head? People are dying. 1,400 people a day are dying. Do you understand this month, more people died this month than this time last month or this time last year?
Oh,
this
shit.
Month last year.
Wow.
400 more people died. And you know what? Guess what? Those aren't Democrats.
No. They're humans.
They're not independents. They're the Republicans that have been told that they shouldn't get the vaccine because it has some luminescent Satan virus in it. And guess what? The virus is doing me just fine because there is no real heaven. There is no real hell. There is no real Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no luminescent virus that can turn you to it.
Just do your part, man. Don't you?
Right.
But more importantly, make your own decisions.
Make your own decisions.
But do the work. If you do the work and make your own decisions, you're your best informed choice for yourself and for your family. Guess what? You'll be just fine.
Here. In fact, I'll start it. There's salt, sugar, vegetable oil, and inert COVID spikes in a vaccine. Those are the ingredients. Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Show me anything that shows that there's anything more in it than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I understand that people can be allergic to those ingredients, Aaron Rodgers, you know? Like, you're still a douchebag, and I'll always consider you a douchebag. The first day I saw you play, I thought you were a douchebag. I love Brett Favre. You suck. Fuck off.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, Brett Favre. Packers organization. But Aaron Rodgers, bitch.
Prove me wrong that there's more than that in it. And then prove to me that there isn't worse ingredients in an apple.
Right.
Like, eating an apple has more of a chance of killing you than the COVID vaccine if you are not allergic to it. And some people are, but 7 billion people, guess what? I mean, 700,000, that's a low number. 7 million, still a low number, but you want to know. You don't want to die over it. You know?
Exactly. Just be but informed. People just...
We talked to Dan, and so it's important that I tell people that.
Absolutely, man. How's Dan doing, by the way? I mean,
he's good. He's going to be joining us after the 6th. December 6th, he's going to start coming back. He's like a superhero. He joined the National Guard. Do you know he was one of the people that actually stood in front of the Capitol after the insurrection? After the polite and quiet protest. I don't know what to call it that doesn't offend people.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm just going to feel like, you know,
is it an insurrection? I don't know if it was it a coup. These seem like words that just people throw around. It was bad. Somebody went into the Capitol and shit on the floor. Fuck you for doing that.
Anything
you did worse, anything worse that you did in there than shitting on the floor, fuck you, because it was worse than shitting on the floor.
Man.
But if you just walked in or you just stand in there, I respect your right to protest.
Yes.
Because out of 5,000 people, what, 700 to 1,000 actually did the bad stuff, but 4,000 people stood there and protested as they intended. So
all
the same person. They're not all the same person.
Right. It wasn't all bad, but it wasn't all good.
It wasn't very good. No. It wasn't very good. One day my friends went into my neighbor's house and it was abandoned. So they started ripping out pipes and carpet and breaking windows. And I stood there at the doorway going, guys, you're going to get in trouble, guys. And I was so loud, my mom heard me and called the cops. Guess what? I got arrested too. Oh, you know, I was on the property. I was in the doorway. Yeah. Even though I was telling them to stop, that didn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you see something, say something, man.
Yeah. I know that sometimes that you're saying something, it requires you to do something, requires you to sit through, you know, hours of interrogation or whatever. But you know what? It's the right thing to do. I mean, as long as you just, it's better than not, you know.
If you see something, say something. Either the situation's too dangerous and you call backup in the form of law enforcement, or it's not a situation at all and you don't need to address it at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. We keep running into fires and crying that we keep getting burned.
I know. And that's such a shame too, man. I mean, if it's not one situation, it's another. It just keeps going and it's going. It's like, when is this going to stop? What are people going to be like? Oh, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to go home and, you know, think about myself and my family. And, you know, I don't know.
Well, the weird thing is like there was an American Idol, Sanjaya.
Yeah.
And he was so bad that people thought it would be a funny joke if he won the show, right?
Yeah.
And they voted, and he was like second or third before he literally got kicked off. But he almost turned American Idol into a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that with Donald Trump. Like, wouldn't it be funny if we burned the system down? And it worked. It's not funny. We shouldn't do that again. We live here. Like, if you want to destabilize other countries, go to it, but not here. Let's keep America just America. Let's fuck with other countries.
Right. Get back to fucking with somebody else. Not ourselves.
Come on. God right. All my cool stuff is here.
Yes, that's my family's here, you know, my homies, my buddies, and
my Vietnam Memorial, my Washington Monument, my fucking White House. That's my White House. You know what I mean?
Dude, I don't want nobody shitting in it. Are you serious?
Right.
You fucking animals. Do you know how fucking pissed off or how stupid you gotta be to be like, you know what? I'm gonna shit on that one place in the country,
right?
That is like the most respected spot in the world. Are you gonna, you know what kind of? Hey, that's a spite shit. That's a spite shit.
Like, remember April 29th, 1992?
I sure as shit do. The L.A. riots. Right.
Mm-hmm. But do you remember how I just watched a fucking documentary? I love documentaries, and I watched one on that. Do you understand how we thought black people were idiots for burning their own stuff.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go and you go and burn our stuff. Like that's our stuff. And you just shit on it and broke it.
Yeah.
And like, man, that's our stuff.
That's like, our stuff. That is no different.
It's so big. We had to put it out in public, but it's still ours. Like, you know, we all got our money. All Americans got together and we were like, we really want a monument of Abraham Lincoln. Like he's so cool.
Yep.
Right. We want a monument. Adam, can you pitch in and we're going to get one. And we did, but it's so big. We couldn't put it in our houses. We couldn't share it. Mm-hmm. Right. So we just put it there, but it's ours. Like don't shit on this stuff, man. Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
We paid for it. Wow. That's my nice stuff.
Yeah. Like, come on, dude. You know, I don't know. That shit was just disgusting. The whole act, the whole thing.
Some of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the people standing, like, that's the problem with the argument. Oh, that January 6th was bad, but there was good people there.
Yeah.
But it was bad, but yeah. There was good people. There was good people there, but bad things happened. And right. I can say that, you know?
Yes.
Not everybody was good. And we need to, you know, stop pointing at what you want to point at. Like, look at the whole picture. It's like reading one chapter of the book and saying, I don't like Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah.
I saw a half hour of, I don't know, the kidney stones or whatever, whatever, you know? And I don't like it because I don't like Harry Potter. I think it's cheesy and campy, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Thank you. I'm towards the end of my show, Adam. I love you. Do you have any final thoughts or recommendations?
You know what? My final thoughts is, man, it's the same as I have every other when I end my podcast. And it's this, everybody love everybody, man. We're all on different journeys. We're all on different paths. You know what? How about this? A friendly smile. Buy a stranger a fucking coffee, dude. A wave. You know, let somebody cross the street in front of you. You know, slow down. Smell the fucking roses, dude. Fucking everybody love everybody, dude.
I like that. Just ignore a transgender person. You don't need to attack them or even think about them, right? Like, let that black jogger be. It's like not going to affect you if he just goes by, even if he did just commit a crime. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not yours to fix. Yep. You're just a viewer. You're not a participant in everything going on. So let people cross the border. They're coming here to work. Give them water. Give them help. Give them assistance because they matter.
Yep.
The strongest try, the bravest try, and the strongest succeed. So don't be the end of somebody's journey like that. And respect disabled people because we're awesome.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Right on, brother.
That's it. That's all I have.
That's all I got too. Hey, you know what? Nice. Thanks for everybody listening. Thank you to Jason and Public Access America, which, like I said, is our parent company. You know, no matter how we grow, we grow different branches. We're in the same tree, the same root, which is Public Access America. Jason, my brother, man, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming onto the show. Let's get into the habit of networking, getting a rotational as a host, because I can't find one to save my ass. You know?
Yeah. We will work on that then. That's not a problem. Hosts don't last forever. I got really lucky with Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I'll say that recording right now. And I just told him in the last episode, and I told him all the time. It's just, I got really lucky with Jeffrey. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep. I was real lucky with Sean. Man, Sean. And then Sean moved to a different time zone and it changed it all, you know? And I'm really happy he's doing well. And I no means am I shitting on Sean. What I am saying is I'm very proud of him. I'm very lucky to have had the time I did. And I get it. I get exactly what you're saying there, Jason. You know what I'm saying? So
I always feel when I'm on your show that I am a liberal bias that your fans don't like. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not. But I can see why you think I would be, but I'm not. I'm not conservative either. Like, I don't want a southern border, right? But I also believe you deserve all the gun rights you deserve. Just regulate yourself. Don't let the government do it.
And, right. You
know, I believe in a lot of conservative theories just from a liberal perspective. Because you can give everybody everything and dignity. and not lose out yourself.
Right.
And anybody that tells you anything different is lying to you for your vote. And that means for your money. And that means you're poor, they're rich, yep. they do what they want, and you don't. So that's my issue. But I do. I always feel like your listeners are like, you made me think something else. I hate that episode.
Which that's what I keep pushing. It's like, think outside the box.
Right. But liberals message me and they're like, I fucking hate that you did that. What? We don't need a border. Now that's all I think about is what would life be without a border? Yeah, I know. Me too now.
Oh, shit.
Fuck yeah.
All right. All right, brother. I love you, man.
Love you too.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time. To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. Very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and kick you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Truth.
Apple Podcasts. Stitcher Smart Radio, Public, and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.